wanted you over the past few days, but you work as a maid in Birmingham, and this is your day off. Can we talk about compensation? Did you ever receive compensation for what happened to you?
No, I haven't received anything yet. I don't know why, but I have been seeking for compensation for years, but I never did get anything, and looked like the people just looked over me. They didn't realize that being in a bomb at the age of 12, I lost a lot of things, you know, concerning my health, you know, and also I wanted to be a nurse, but by having post-traumatic stress syndrome, that never did happen because that bomb just really changed my whole life. And I had to work as being a maid simply because I wasn't as smart as I were, because at first, before the bombing, I was an A student, but after the bombing, I just couldn't think like that anymore.
And, of course, you lost your sister as well, Addie Mae Collins, your older sister. You were 12. She was 14. Did you feel you could not find a safe place? I mean, after all, you were bombed in a church, the place you went for sanctuary.
Yes, you would think that going to church is really a safe place, but it wasn't. You know, somebody that would put a bomb in the church and kill four innocent girls, you know, that's just the work of the devil, because that should never have happened. These girls was young, and we was waiting that day for a youth service. But by the bomb going off, we didn't get a chance to attend youth service.
And Ms. Rudolph, how does it feel when you hear that people say that this bombing helped set off the civil rights movement?
You know, I've been hearing that for a long time, but for people to just get peace from four girls getting killed, it should never be. You know, we should always just love each other anyway, because we're all human beings, and God made us all. And by them getting killed, that was just something awful. You know, I think about it all the time, that we should have peace. We should love one another, because we shouldn't be prejudiced and violent like that to place a bomb in a church simply because of people's race.
Sarah Collins, Rudolph, we're also joined by Adam Goldman. We were just talking to him about the New York Police Department. But Adam, before you were at AP, you were at Birmingham News. We only have a minute. Talk about who did this and your correspondence with the killer.
Right. So when I was a reporter for the Birmingham News, I covered the trial of Thomas Blanton Jr. He was one of three people who were convicted of carrying out this horrific bombing. Thomas Blanton is the only surviving bomber. The other two guys, Bobby Cherry and an individual named Chambliss, they're dead. And Blanton was put away in prison. He got a life sentence. And I've been corresponding with him, trading letters with Blanton. And he's unrepentant, and till to this day says he didn't have anything to do with this bombing.
Sarah Collins Rudolph, you almost refused the Congressional Gold Medal. Why?
You know, during that time, I really didn't even know they had offered me a gold medal until last week. Somebody was telling me about it was in the USA. And I said, no, I said, I never did see that article about they was going to present me with a bomb, with a medal. I thought that just my sister and the other girl were going to get the medal.
I have to leave it there, but we'll continue this conversation after the show. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Sarah Collins Rudolph. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
The This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, September 15th. Jack's Waterfall will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport. Santo and Billy will be at Big Daddy's Massapequa. James Maddock will be at the Rockwood Music Hall at 3:30, Stage 2. New York's Most Dangerous Band will be at the Lindenhurst Memorial Library in Lindenhurst. The Spirituality of Bruce Springsteen with Joe Rock will be at the Congregational Church of Patchogue in Patchogue at 7. Ahmad Ali will be at Lobster Roll Northside in Baiting Hollow. Lady Sings the Blues, a Billie Holiday tribute featuring Tierney Ryan and her band, at the Dix Hills Performing Arts Center in Dix Hills. On your billboard for Monday, September 16th, T. Hardy Morris will be at the Living Room Manhattan, 7 p.m. Jazzmo will be at the Cutting Room Manhattan. Ake will be at Jack in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, September 17th, Genesis, featuring Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins, 1970s to 1980s, with guest speaker Bill Shelley. This is a film that would be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village, 7:30. Looking ahead to Wednesday the 18th, Kane Daly will be at Big Daddy's Massapequa.
Tune in throughout the day, each day, to hear Concert Billboard on the air, or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB. It's a service of WUSB Stony Brook. And you're listening to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. Time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you.
we working? Good. Okay. I'm sorry we have to bang the equipment to get it to work around here. As you know, good evening. Just sort of takes away from the dignity of saying good evening when you have to bash a microphone to get it to... It's not working still. Amazing. Good evening. It's Emmanuel here for Off the Wall, joined by Kyle.
Hi.
Why is it your mic always works?
I don't know.
I've never seen you strike a microphone. Never seen that happen.
I was going to bring a replacement microphone tonight, but mine works so great that I decided not to.
You know, it's incredible. I have to hand it to you for your ingenuity here, because getting things to work around here, as you know, is a challenge. And a simple thing like having a second set of headphones so you can hear what you sound like over the radio, which is important, is something that we could not accomplish here in the studio for whatever reason.
I can't take all the credit. I had to go find the headphones, that's for sure.
Okay, well, that was the first thing. You have to find headphones. You found the headphones, but without a place to actually plug them into that works, they're kind of useless. But what you did was you went to an old tape deck, an old reel-to-reel tape deck that has not been used here in over a decade, I don't think. In fact, I'd like to know what's on the tape that's sitting there.
You want me to string it up?
There's a tape that's, you know, why not? Let's see what's there.
How do you string up a reel-to-reel?
Oh, that's the thing. You're going to have to do that on your own. I mean,
I heard you're the reel-to-reel master.
Well, I know how to edit. I know how to spool a tape. It's not that hard. But again, if you've never done it, have you ever done it?
Never.
Okay, so do this on the air. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But let me finish the story.
Yeah.
What you did was you went to one of these old a reel-to-reel deck. And you plugged headphones into there, turned it on, and put it into input mode. And what that meant is that you're listening to the feed of the signal going into the tape deck, as if the tape deck were recording what was going over the air, which they are capable of doing, or were capable of doing. The thing is, Kyle, you're not going to be able to listen anymore because you have to go into output mode. You can't stay in input mode, obviously. You won't be able to hear the tape.
Yeah, but I can string it up before and then switch back and forth.
That's
once
true.
I get to that point.
That's so true. And there's also another tape deck down there that you could do the same thing with.
Oh, wow. Should I move the tapes then?
No, don't. That tape has been there forever.
It's probably not going to go well if I do. Okay, so do you start with the tape on the left?
Well, that's where the tape is, so of course you have to start with the tape on the left.
Okay, and then
there's an empty reel on the right.
You put it straight through. Do I flip up this little thing?
You can flip up the little thing, but you spooled around that silver thing. You see, we know all the terminology. The silver thing over there, yeah, and put it on that side of it. Yeah,
okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
But then put it around the round thing on the other way.
Around that way. Oh, on the rubber thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always know your terminology, folks, because otherwise no one's not going to know what you're talking about.
So
and then go underneath that part, the straight part there.
Oh, where the heads are.
And then through that little doohickey. No, the other side of the doohickey. Not that far. There.
Oh, this
no,
one.
No. Okay, through the narrow part. Yeah, there you go. Right
like
there.
Like that?
Yeah, and then I guess it goes there. I'm not sure about that part. But then it goes around that knobbish, the thing that, yeah, that thing.
Yeah,
and
the
then,
other metal thing.
Now that you've got it all through there, what you have to do is sort of pull it back a little bit so you have less slack on the tape.
Okay.
I'm sorry, listeners. I know this must be incredibly
less
fascinating
slack.
For you. No, you're
slack.
Going the wrong way. You have to pull it the other way.
Oh, the other
so
way.
So you have
real.
Less,
all
and
right.
then you just sort of...
Where do I put the leader thing?
Well, you just have a little bit of it, yeah. Hold it
just
out like that, and then just... Then spin the pickup reel. Like that
pickup,
until it catches on.
Until it covers it. Okay.
Yeah, and then it should okay, you have just spooled a reel. I think that's
nice.
I don't even know if that's what you call
wow.
it.
Wow.
So what I have to do now is I have to bring this up on the board. But if I bring it up on the board now, I'm gonna get feedback. Well, no, I guess I won't get feedback for some reason. I was looking forward to feedback. Okay. Oh, you know, because the record thing isn't. Okay. So what you want to do is yellow buttons. Do you see the yellow buttons? On the right, bottom right.
Yeah.
Push those in. Okay, now you're in. You should have lost audio then.
Yeah, I can't hear now.
Okay, so now what you do is, well, what I do is, because I have remote control over here, I'm going to hit the play button.
Okay.
And we're going to see what, if anything, is on this reel. It doesn't work. Okay, the remote doesn't work, so you're going to have to press the play button and see what happens.
I find it hard to believe that I can't monitor this while...
Don't press those buttons.
Yeah. All right, I'm playing it.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Hit stop.
Okay, we just learned that the take-up reel doesn't work, and that if you press play, the other reel simply spool all the tape onto the floor.
What if I just manually spin it?
Okay, you know, you want to do that? Go ahead. Good luck with that.
All
He's
right, going to
manually
listening?
Spin the tape himself. Go ahead.
All right.
Let's see what happens. Let's see if anything's on here. Of course, we have no guarantee that it's going to even be connected. I'm watching the VU meters to see if anything is on there. And, of course, it could be a while, too. That tape looks like it's a half hour long, so you might be doing this for
okay,
half of the show.
Okay, just keep going with the show. And I'll...
You know what you could do also?
Fast forward, and then just spin
I was thinking,
fast.
If you hit fast forward and the take-up reel isn't working, it's going to be a real catastrophe. Why don't you do that? And
should I do it
happens.
Just to...
Yeah, I'd kind of like to see what that looks like. You can hit stop now, quickly. No, you're not hitting stop, Kyle. Okay, yes. Oh. Now you got to pull it back because you didn't hit stop.
I tried to hit... Oh,
now hit fast forward and see what happens.
Oh, you have to stop and then fast forward. Okay.
Okay, nothing happens. Interesting. You know what? This is thrilling and exciting, but it's not getting us anywhere, I'm afraid. Okay. So the story is that Kyle figured out that he could plug his headphones into the... Now that we know it's not working tape deck, why don't you hit rewind? Maybe that works.
It was in edit mode.
Oh, there you go. Okay, hit stop. It was in edit mode. Somebody left it in edit mode, so that's why the take-up reel was not working. Now hit play. And now the whole play button doesn't work. All right.
But well, I heard audio.
You heard audio?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. You see that little switch underneath the reel on the left?
Yeah.
No, you're not. Up. Yeah. Throw that down.
Okay.
Not try. Okay, we don't know what's wrong with it, but this is no longer interesting. So let's go back to...
the point is, I can at least monitor...
Yeah, go back to monitoring what
through
we
through this antique piece of equipment.
Yeah. It just goes to show that not everything is useless. And you can always find a use for things sometimes. So anyway, what else has been going on besides figuring out ways around barriers?
Well, I think we're well into So When, which is a season.
What?
Yeah, the harvest season, right?
What's it called?
So When.
Spell that, please.
It's All Hallows Eve, Halloween, So When.
I know about All Hallows Eve and all that, but I've never heard this word, which... You still haven't spelled. I don't know.
I don't know how to spell it. It's spelled much differently than it sounds.
I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia.
It's basically autumn is starting. People are putting out pumpkins and stuff.
Yes. People are putting out pumpkins for some reason. And it's cool. The weather has turned. It's now nice and chilly outside, which...
Isn't it nice?
I prefer it this way. I really do. It's much more conducive to doing things.
It's really nice, and the clear skies and the sun has been really nice. So okay, everything is working well with nature, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Of course, you know, we could use a good storm. Haven't seen one of those lately.
Yeah,
everyone is wondering where are the hurricanes. No real hurricanes this year.
There was a lot of articles I think this week about that. Where's are we going to have something like Sandy again?
Especially since they predicted this was going to be the most active hurricane season in a while. I don't think we've seen a single hurricane yet. A bunch of tropical storms, but no hurricanes. So maybe the big one is coming, or maybe nothing is coming. I think it just goes back to weathermen really don't know any more than we do as far as what's going to happen. They might be able to predict day to day, but as far as the trends...
Well, either way, I think it's a good time to take stock. You know, you're getting ready for some of those holiday meals, and you stock up a little bit, and it's probably a nice time to say, like, okay, do I have enough batteries? Do I have some candles? You know, just in case something happens, because it's been so wild in the past. But it's been also altogether pleasant in that sense, but a lot going on in the world.
A lot going on in the world, as always. Well, we're not at war, which is good.
Yeah.
And thank level heads for prevailing there. Although I do think it's going to be Obama's downfall. He's going to be seen as weak and kowtowing to the Russians, which nobody wants to do. But they happen to be right in this case. And I think we did the right thing by not just plunging headlong yet again into another conflict.
It's always good to do the right thing.
Yeah. And, of course, it doesn't solve the problem over there. But you can't just immediately solve problems. We don't have that ability, but the world has to work on this.
Or profess to be able to. That's even more foolhardy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then and makes people suspect. And I think that's why things went the way they did with a lot of that. But
right.
What else is going on? I don't know.
Well, speaking of the world,
yeah.
I have this ranking here of the happiest nations. Now, we are not the happiest nation in the world. That's for sure. We're number 17, apparently. And you know who's happier than us? Mexico is happier than us. Mexico's number 16. They're a happier country than the United States. Why do you think that is? Maybe because they're not invading other countries. Maybe because, I don't know, they basically have a more honest way of living. You know, just they know what's what and they don't put on airs. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's something else. I don't even know how this poll is conducted in the first place. But number one, well, here's the order of the first five. Denmark, Norway, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Sweden. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd say those are all pretty happy places. Although when I was in Norway, a lot of what people would talk about is the sad kind of seasonal effectual disorder and the kind of tendency for people to get depressed. So it's funny to hear that from Norway because that was one of the big problems.
But they had great big smiles on their faces when they were telling us this, too.
Yeah,
it was a little scary.
People that are happy just, yeah. I mean, I would consider the people in those places that are happy, but the fact that they're that in tune with it, you know, that with people being affected seasonally or by the, in some cases, a lot of it was exaggerated because we were up in really dark parts of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are happy are really happy and content with their lives. And I think that a society that, you know, is concerned and has numbers and keeps track of like what they're doing, what people are unhappy, that they would rank that way.
Now, do you know who number six is? Who comes in after this? I'll give you a hint. It's unlike all those first five countries, they are not in Northern Europe.
Cubans.
No, I don't think Cuba is that happy.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if I have their ranking here on this list, but I gotta get
the Irish.
No, not the Irish either.
Okay. All right, that's two guesses.
I think one more guess. I'll give you a hint. You had the hemisphere right the first time. It is in the Western Hemisphere.
Canadians.
That's right. Canada is number six. So it's something to do with the North. Something to do with being in the North that makes people happy. Because look at the unhappy countries.
Yeah.
The unhappiest countries included are Rwanda, Burundi, Central African Republic, Benin, Togo, all nations in sub-Saharan Africa. They're the least satisfied with their lives. And for good reason, too, because they live in poverty for the most part and without infrastructure, without much support from the rest of the world, forgotten by so many.
I think we also have to look at those facts on the basis of, like, historical occurrences, things that have happened historically, like how they came about as mm-hmm. nations and stuff. For like what resources they have and maybe how that was exploited. And then the people thus kind of got into a cycle of poverty based on industrial kind of and global growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It all ties together. Other countries, Australia was number 10, Israel number 11, United Arab Emirates number 14. Guess where the UK winds up?
20th.
22. Not bad. Germany's number 26. Japan, all the way down at 43. They're not very happy in Japan.
I would say they're pretty not happy right now.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're happy a lot of times.
Yeah, a lot of the times, but definitely not
so
right
now. So much
pressure.
So much pressure in Japan. So many suicides.
To succeed and, like what you have to love doing things you hate and just competition and incredible, homogeneity and in like the corporate atmosphere, which in and of itself is sort of homogenous.
Yeah. Russia number 68, China number 93. So,
ouch.
Those might be surprises to some people. Egypt had the greatest fall in happiness levels. So, that's something to consider as well. I don't know, you know, what that actually means as far as rankings. 2013 World Happiness Report, it was actually released a week ago Monday, but it's something that people like to look at and I guess try to glean meaning from it one way or another. Anything else going on in the world that you feel is worthy of note?
I think there was what was it? A natural disaster in Fukushima?
Again? Another one? What happened there? Other than the continuing disaster of Fukushima?
Wasn't a hurricane? It was something else.
A typhoon? Or?
Typhoon. That's
really.
What
I didn't know about.
I think I saw this come by on one of like a news story kind of thing, and I didn't actually investigate the actual story, but they've been doing a lot of pumping and moving of water lately. Well,
that's exactly what they need, is yet another,
another
catastrophe
typhoon
over there. Can you? It's incredible to me that this happened, what, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
It was, what, the earthquake that led to a tidal wave that led to the nuclear disaster, and they are still trying to deal with it, and they still can't deal with it. You know, that is what happens when you have a nuclear power plant in sketchy situations like this, and it could happen anywhere where some natural disaster can hit. And you tell me a part of the earth that a natural disaster can't hit at. That's the thing that we sometimes forget, that, oh, yeah, we'll be able to take care of anything. I've seen this so many times with software, with hardware, with technology, with attitude in general, just the smugness that, yeah, we can get past anything that you throw us, and you throw them one hardball and it's all over. So, yeah, this is the major problem with nuclear power plants, is in that we are not quite evolve to the state where I think we can handle all these possible problems. And yet 2.5 years later, they're still trying to stop it, and they can't. That's what we've unleashed here. So it's really very scary, something you gotta think about. Just think of the nuclear waste that these things generate alone, and they have to be kept, the waste has to be kept undisturbed for, what, how many thousands of years? And we actually think we can do that.
Yeah, it's all about, like, half-lives and containment and it's icky stuff. This stuff is just really, really bad for biological life. And
it's basically the people that do this, they don't have to worry about it past their lifetime, and they just assume everybody in future generations will have no problem with their decisions.
Yeah, it's like a very fast kind of profitable venture. Like, okay, yeah, we can have all this energy, but it's basically steam power. This heat running a boiler, and then that powers a turbine. And I don't know, as far as, it's great short term, like if it works and doesn't cause any harm, but the waste and everything, I don't know, just even small scale nuclear power, it's a tough sell to me. I know people think it's crazy that, oh, we've got all the great technology and we can, you know, run these better than ever, and we should just keep pushing it and moving the technology. But I think there's just other ways to deal with power, and I think energy efficiency has never been cooler. I think that's like the way to go, is doing more with less and using a diverse source of power generation in the future.
Well, we've seen in our travels, we've seen wind turbines in quite a few places, but we've also seen so many solar panels. You noticed this?
Yeah. On our last trip, we saw so many solar panels, and I've actually seen a lot here in the Northeast. I think I actually commented on this in one of the off the wall episodes, but I'll reiterate it again. When I was flying into this part of the country, even a lot of the distribution warehouses and stuff had huge solar arrays, and I was like, wow, they're finally using the tops of these enormous warehouses, no matter what company it is, they're finally using that space and creating power. And fine, I mean, if it's not a green roof, you know, you don't want to have a bunch of moss and like weird little plants growing on your roof, then, you know, at least maybe you can do something with electricity, even if it's not a lot, but it could maybe run your alarm systems or stuff that you'd want to have reserve power for and stuff like that. So I noticed that a lot here. And then when we went on our trip, I noticed it everywhere, like in Italy, northern Italy, a lot of the chateaus and villas around in Austria when we were going over the passes there. And it's just remarkable how, I guess, affordable deployments of solar panels have gotten for small businesses and for people that have like small cottages and stuff like that. And
it blends so well into the scenery.
It actually doesn't look bad on like a barn roof or, you know, whether, no matter how large a size. The one thing that does look a little funky is when you have large swaths of land that are like power farms and there's just tons of solar panels there. But if the land is in a difficult area to grow things and stuff like that, maybe it is a good solution. But I think just small deployments on people's houses, it's really neat to see, and I've seen it more in the last couple months even. So I definitely think the cost and scalability of that has changed such that people are really going for that as a solution.
So yeah, it's some optimistic things, some progress that we are seeing. I like to focus on that. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. And today is the second anniversary of Occupy Wall Street. Remember them? Remember Occupy Wall Street? We were there at the beginning.
Yeah.
We were there when they were getting off the bus, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, about 100 members of Occupy Wall Street returned today to the small plaza near the New York Stock Exchange that once teemed with thousands of people protesting financial inequality, marking the second anniversary of their movement's beginnings. Small groups of protesters marched around the streets near Zuccotti Park in the morning. Did the police come and knock them on the heads and arrest them out of sentimentality? Or I don't think they did. Oh, that's so sad. because it just seemed to be the thing that they just had to do. They couldn't resist. Whenever anybody showed up at Occupy Wall Street, well, they had to be arrested just because they did. It was really kind of a crazy series of events that kept repeating themselves. There was also a march to Washington Square Park. Protesters were scattered in smaller groups around New York City, kind of symbolic, I guess. An assembly for the 99% was held in the afternoon at Zuccotti Park, a nod to the massive General Assembly meetings that were held on a daily basis in the park at the height of the movement. I remember seeing some of those, really inspirational and moving. We're still out here fighting for economic justice. The bankers still have all the power, said protester Linnea Patton. They've bought our government. We need a people's movement to do that, and the movement is still here. But the movement has splintered since Mayor Bloomberg had police raid the park, break up the encampment in November of 2011. And without leaders or specific demands, Occupy turned into basically a protest against everything that's wrong in the world. And the thing is, and this is what a lot of people seem to not remember, is that a year ago, last year, right after Superstorm Sandy, a lot of the organizers of Occupy played a leading role in grassroots disaster relief all across the city. They organized donation hubs, delivered food, medications to elderly storm victims, helped people repair their homes. Many of them, the very cops that were arresting them, because they were living in the places that were hardest hit. Incredible. And that's one story that really should have been focused on, front and center. The question remains, what Occupy is at this point. They're muddled by the vast number of competing interest groups promoting their own causes under the Occupy banner. There's a website called OccuEvolve, a subgroup that says it's devoted to expanding Occupy into a movement. They posted a long list of activities planned throughout the day that will be hosted by various protest groups, including Alternative Banking, Working Group of Occupy Wall Street, Families of Police Violence, Money Wars Performers, Occupy Staten Island, Occupy Wall Street Zapatistas. And, you know, it's all really great ideological, but it's not unified. It's not united. And that is the real tragedy of all this, is that so much was lost by all the splintering. And, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to say, but the over-inclusiveness of just having to listen to every single possible viewpoint. And sometimes you just have to say, this is what we believe in. This is what we're going to do. And you don't agree with us, okay, stand aside, let us do our thing. And unfortunately, the movement just seemed to have been slowed down so much by process. And that, to me, is the curse of the left, because that always seems to slow them down, the splintering, the infighting. And of course, the police bashing them on the heads and arresting them. That didn't help either. I just hope that we don't focus on how small Occupy is now, but rather what it could inspire and what might come about in the future, because there certainly is a lot of discontent in this country. There certainly is a lot that needs to be changed. And we need idealistic people. I mean, we need people not to give up and believe that their voices don't mean anything. Because one thing we saw when these guys were speaking out 2 years ago was how scared the authorities were of them and how they felt they had to stop this at any cost. Imagine if, like in so many places around the world, if that had continued to grow and continued to gain traction. What kind of a world we'd be living in today?
You know, one thing I think people forget about Occupy. I mean, granted, there's all the conversation and like the overarching group and the discussions and, you know, splintering as a result of that. But what it was the same kind of thing with disaster relief. It was all these people with this outpouring of support, providing meals and shelter, improvised. Improvised sanitations had a huge kitchen there. They had ongoing music and art displays, and ad hoc kind of wireless connectivity, a lot of solutions, even a library, spiritual like celebrations, kind of dances and of all kinds of faiths and different life kind of world views. And so I don't know, everything was represented very equally and everybody got to have their say, but the real mechanism of Occupy was this, that we can do this decentralized, we can have all these disagreements, we can have all this, these differences, but we can get together and support humans around that discussion and dialogue and get things done as a result without pettiness and like this, you know, having bidding and contractors or whatever,
right.
All that silliness of like bureaucracy, it all got done. People were taken care of. They were cleaning the place when they're being threatened with being kicked out over sanitation issues. They were working more or less with the city, the parts of the city that would work with them, as to like when they could go on and have marches and really trying to continue to occupy that area and get it classified and get it to be a continuing thing and move in a really positive direction for the world. And it really proved that, that you can get a lot of that stuff done. They had staying power. They had support. They had people seeing this from around the world. People that cover this, journalists and that support groups and want a better society for all of us. So, I mean, there was a lot of adulation and things to be proud of as a result of Occupy. So it's mm-hmm. not just like, it's not just, this like, general meetings where people were arguing. I mean, that was part of it, but there was so much getting done as in light of that.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on. We had, you hear about this shooting near Times Square that took place? I think it was on Saturday. You hear about this? These lunatics opened fire on a crowd? No, you didn't know about
this? No.
Well, you didn't know about it because...
Are they cops?
Yeah, they were cops. That's why it wasn't referred to funny. In that particular way. But yes, once again, New York City police have been involved in a shooting where they don't know what they're doing and they fire into crowds.
Nice.
And here's what they did. They brought a variety... The cops brought a variety of charges against the emotionally disturbed man that they say triggered the cops to shoot at him. It's just... It's almost comical, but they wound up wounding two bystanders. They fired three shots at this guy, right, in Saturday night, and managed to hit two women with those three shots. you don't fire into a crowd of people. You know, you just don't do that. That's rule number one, especially if you're a cop. You don't do that. And two of their three shots not only missed apparently what their target was, but hit other people. It's just it's just unbelievable. Anyway, this guy, Glenn Broadnax, was walking into traffic in front of the Port Authority bus terminal, apparently trying to be hit by cars. That's according to Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, who doesn't always have the most enlightened view of what's actually going on. He dodged police who tried to take him into custody, then mimicked shooting a gun at officers, which, of course, left them with no choice but to return fire with real bullets. That's according to Ray Kelly. You know, I'm not a professional. I'm not the police commissioner. But it seems to me that if somebody holds up a finger and a thumb, you can tell the difference between that and a real gun. Can't you? I mean, if you're close enough to be able to see what this guy is doing, and I assume you're getting somewhat close, you're not two blocks away, you can tell that that's not really a gun. All right? And just because somebody holds up a finger and I should stop doing that, or Finn might shoot me through the window. but just because you do that doesn't mean that you are a threat. In fact, it probably means that you're not a threat to anybody but yourself. So anyway, at some point, he reached into his pocket, took out his hand, and simulated as if he was shooting at them, said Kelly. Two officers fired three shots before the unarmed Broadnax was brought down with a taser. Think about that. They shoot at him. If they really believe he has a gun, they shoot at him, and what do? They run over with a taser after they miss him three times. They run over and tase him. I mean, you wouldn't do that if you thought the guy really had a gun. He's been charged with menacing, obstructing governmental administration, riot, criminal possession of a controlled substance, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and maybe more charges will come about as a result of this. A 54-year-old woman was shot in the knee. 37-year-old was grazed in the buttocks. And it's not life-threatening, but they did wind up in the hospital and had to go undergo surgery and all that. Not very pleasant. This guy was taken into Bellevue as an emotionally disturbed person. It's really crazy. It's really, these guys are not trained. They don't know what they're doing. And I just wonder, when you have a police commissioner that doesn't even address that issue and simply defends whatever they do, even when they fire into crowds of people, how is this ever going to get any better? You know, and these guys are probably being rewarded by being given a paid leave or something like that while they investigate, but they'll never find anything. They never will.
It's pretty criminal.
Yeah.
It's just another day at the office, you know, and I like how they use the taser to, like, kind of clean up the story that the fact that they had shot at this person, like, I don't know, it rounds out the end of the story a bit because it's not lethal force, but they're pretty much going for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you are putting yourself at risk by going up to New York police with your fingers, like, looking like a gun, and especially if you pull it out of your
No, obviously.
Jacket.
I'm not advocating people should do that, but when someone's emotionally disturbed, they're going to do things that are not in their best interest, and you need to have people that are looking out for their best interest.
Yeah.
And that medically, means not shooting,
like,
at them,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely. The person needed, like, medical attention before they, yeah.
So you're doing something over here, Kyle. Were you messing with the machine? Or?
I'm just playing around with it. I restrung it, and I thought maybe I could get it working.
But you did.
I don't know. I mean, when you fast forward, can you hear anything?
Well, hit stop. Hit stop.
Okay, I'm going to stop.
Hit
it.
Stop. Now throw that lever down on the left.
Throw the lever.
Now hit fast forward, and we'll see if we hear anything. You don't have to worry about that. I've got it pegged over here. I don't hear anything, and I don't think there's anything on that tape, but... We can definitely hear it moving. Well, that's kind of cool. I wouldn't do that. You might injure yourself. Yeah. And stick your hand in a rapidly moving tape deck. And don't do that either, or it might fly all over the place. Just let it... yeah. I think that tape has been erased. But why don't we let it go all the way to the end so that we hear that flapping noise when a tape reaches the end of its reel? That's
okay.
Something that a lot of the kids I don't think have ever heard.
And this is cool. This is educational. We're teaching about radio stations.
Or we're teaching about old equipment that no one ever uses anymore. And it's a shame, too, because a reel-to-reel deck is something that everyone should know how to use. And there are just so many things you can put on reel-to-reel tape. I was going through some old tapes for my family, and you could store, I think, 8 different tracks on a single reel, which meant that you could get something like 30, 40 hours. What'd you just do?
I can hear it if I press...
You didn't press those buttons. You have to press those buttons. Yeah, press the other one. Press the other one. No, there's 2 buttons there, Kyle. 2 buttons. Yes, you got to press both buttons. Okay, for some reason it's not... I don't think it's wired to the board. That's what I think the problem is. All right, could you hit stop now? If you hit stop and then you hit play and hold the headphones up to the... play doesn't work anymore.
Does it work on the remote?
No, the remote does not work at all.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We're going to have to experiment with this later. Let's move on to our public service section here of the program.
Yes.
You know, whenever you check into a hotel and right away people think you're a terrorist, did that happen to you? Or I just assumed that happened to other people.
How does this manifest itself?
Well, okay. What I want to do is I want to give out tips for people so that they don't get automatically assumed to be terrorists.
Okay.
Basically, people in hotels will assume you're a terrorist if you don't provide professional or personal details on hotel registration, such as place of employment, contact information, place of residence. If you leave that out, you might be a terrorist. If you use payphones for outgoing calls or making front desk requests in person to avoid using the room telephone. You know, so that's something to not do.
Okay. Yeah, I don't do that ever. So I'm
okay.
Covered.
All right. Well, you're safe so far. How about interest in using internet cafes despite hotel internet availability?
Okay. Yeah. I don't ever really use internet hotel unless I can exploit it.
That doesn't sound very patriotic to me. Okay. Non-VIPs who request that their presence at a hotel not be divulged. Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that make, like, every dignitary and movie star a suspect?
Non-VIPs, Kyle. Non-VIP. People who are not amongst the beautiful people.
Okay,
right?
But
people like us.
Isn't VIP a kind of like a self-image thing?
It's I don't think they mean it that way. I
how
think they,
you look. Okay.
You're registered VIP. If you're just a regular person and you don't want anybody to know you're in a hotel, that's a danger sign right there. How dare you want that kind of privacy? And if there's internet in the hotel, how dare you go to an internet cafe? What are you trying to hide?
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Extending departure dates one day at a time for prolonged periods.
Mm.
You ever done that?
I mean,
think
a
I'll
little,
stay another
maybe.
Day. Okay, another day on top of that, another, because you're waiting
well,
for your orders to
you
come in.
Don't know, yeah, where you're going to connect to, or
exactly.
how soon,
sometimes,
or anything. But
sometimes the orders are delayed, and you have to keep waiting. How about refusal of housekeeping services for extended periods? That's definitely something I'm guilty of.
That's like a very fear and loathing of Las Vegas.
Yeah, of course. And those guys weren't terrorists. So,
no, they're journalists.
Yeah, it's a
course.
Big difference.
Yeah.
How about extended stays with little baggage or unpacked luggage?
I try not to bring any baggage with me.
I'm sure that's in here too somewhere. Access or attempted access to areas of the hotel normally restricted to staff. That's everybody at the Hope conferences, I think. So I don't know. Use of cash for large transactions or a credit card in someone else's name. I don't know. How do you use a credit card in someone else's name? I'm woefully misinformed on how that would work. You know, they usually ask for ID or something, or you know, if you give a name that's not yours or the signature doesn't match or something, that's right there. They wouldn't accept it. Request for specific rooms, floors, or other locations in the hotel.
Like what, the basement? Can I use the incinerator?
No, I'd like the room with a clear shot of the doorway across the street that various politicians walk through.
Right.
You don't phrase it that way.
I need line of sight.
Could be misinterpreted. Yeah, I would avoid that. Use of a third party to register. In other words, having somebody make all your arrangements for you. Multiple visitors or deliveries to one individual or room.
So you can't have an admirer.
No, don't have things.
Be the admirer.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to get somebody labeled a terrorist is to send a lot of things to their room. Mm-hmm. Unusual interest in hotel access, including main and alternate entrances, emergency exits, and surrounding routes.
Hmm.
Use of entrances and exits that avoid the lobby or other areas with cameras and hotel personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Attempting to access restricted parking areas with a vehicle or leaving unattended vehicles near the hotel building.
Mm.
I've been guilty of that a few times. Unusual interest in hotel staff operating procedures, shift changes, closed circuit TV systems, fire alarms, and security systems. How do you define an unusual interest in all that? I'm interested in every single one of those things, but what's an unusual interest?
We've been at places that told us that there's a fire drill the next day.
That's right.
And then the fire drill never happened.
That was Liverpool. I remember that.
And then we wanted to know about the fire drill. Does that make us curious? Well, I was concerned maybe I was going to be woken up at, you know,
I brought it up
god awful early in the morning.
When we checked in, because it said, you know, one day a week, and it happened to be the next day. And I said, is there going to be a fire alarm? And they said, yeah, there's going to be a fire. But you don't have to worry. But what if there's a fire at that exact moment? You know, that I do worry about those things.
No such alarm.
Mm. Leaving the property for several days and then returning.
What?
Yeah.
And keeping your room? Well, what if you're on a safari or
why
something?
Would you keep the room?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you're decadent.
Abandoning a room and leaving behind clothing, toiletries, or other items. But sometimes I just leave clothing and toiletries behind because I'm sick of them, and I just leave.
Sometimes it's an accident.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know if you're supposed to check out or you just leave, too. Motels, you just leave, right? And hotels, you're supposed to check out, but sometimes you can just check out. Or sometimes you can check out on the TV.
Yeah.
And finally, non-compliance with other hotel policies. And that's the one. That's the one that always gets me.
Other hotel?
Oh, the other hotel policies.
So other hotels in the neighborhood you have?
No, not other hotels' policies.
Comply with
other hotel policies of that same hotel.
Oh, that aren't named.
Yes.
Well, if they're stupid and you can get around them, like leaving your passport or doing something crazy like that, which I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's
there's a lot of unnecessary things hotels will try to get you to do if you go to enough like places. That's why it's good to go to hostels every now and then, mm-hmm. or do homestays.
You know, I was going through, I'm sorry.
We're sleeping apart.
I'm miles away here. But I was going through, as you know, I cleaned out a closet a few months ago.
Yeah.
And found all kinds of interesting things.
Whipping things into shape. You got all kinds of memorabilia. It's cool to go through history.
It is.
And build stuff going forward. And you get to look back. You reflect. You get to redo things. So what do you got?
I got some of my second grade writings that I found from PS95 in Queens.
Okay.
Well, I just figured this might be something that could illustrate my character a little bit more than. Okay, this is piece. I'll start with this one. If I were a raindrop, I don't know why they made us write these things, but it's. I guess it was to identify if maybe we might be terrorists in the future or have weird personalities or who knows.
No, please.
If I were a raindrop. If I were a raindrop, I would travel very far. I would travel for a mile and sometimes more or less. Most of all, I'd like to be dried up and brought back to the clouds. I'd be used again and again. I'd like to be a raindrop very much. And I think what that says about me is that I believe in reincarnation. I believe that life is circular, that you keep coming back and
there
going
are many,
different places.
Many souls.
Many souls.
Infinite souls, everything you've ever... Okay, that's good. No, yeah. I like that. That's very spiritual.
Very spiritual. I was a very spiritual second grader. Okay, here's a little piece I wrote called That's Funny. Yesterday, I didn't see my toys. I looked everywhere. Today, I saw them in the garage where I looked before. It's kind of funny because we didn't have a garage. Unless...
Wow.
I'm referring to the big garage in our apartment building. Maybe that's what I was referring to.
So you're already falsifying documents.
I asked my mother and father. Well, I didn't live with my father, so yeah, I am lying here. Wow, I was a liar when I was in second grade. I'm just learning this about myself now.
Wow.
Okay, so I saw them in a place I don't have, and I asked somebody who didn't exist. Okay, they didn't know anything about it. Then before I could blink an eye, I saw a giant saw. Wait. Okay, you know...
Sun?
I saw a giant saw a giant foot. Okay, I'm just going to assume that was a major typo on part of a second grader.
Mm-hmm.
Before I could blink an eye, I saw a giant foot. I imagine that's
nice.
What I was trying to say. Okay,
definitely.
I peek in it. I'm sorry. This is unusually sloppy for even my second grade writing abilities. I saw a fat bear. It saw me. Then it ran away. Now I know that some pretend things might happen. Well, I got to tell you, you know, me of the second grade, that pretend thing ain't never going to happen because that's just so far-fetched and crazy. And you also give no indication as to why writing the series of lies out on a piece of paper indicate that any of these things might happen. If anything, you're proving to me why they won't happen.
All right, calm down.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Oh, whoa.
It may be ancient and old relic of my past, but... I'm ashamed that I ever put pencil to paper in that particular case. Deserve to survive.
It's, your handwriting hasn't changed.
My handwriting has not changed. You're right. All right, here's I am great because. That's one of my favorites.
All right.
I think I'm great because I'm never late for important type things. And you notice this is written in meter. This is written as sort of a poem.
Okay.
I think that was part of the exercise here.
Right.
So let me start again. I think I'm great because I'm never late for important type things. I think I'm great because I use good bait, but let the fishes go. And that's true because I did do that. I did let fishes go. I think I'm great because I have to hate people that are mean. Kyle?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not looking at you. I'm just making sure you're paying attention because I still hate people that are mean.
Yes.
Although I would say now people who are mean. I think that's more, but I'll let that go.
You can't help being mean.
I think I'm great because I broke a gate over a bully's head. Wow. Okay, I was kind of feisty back then. And finally, I think I'm great because I never wait for anything.
That's pretty great.
I like this version of myself. Absolutely. There's more. Maybe I'll read some more in future shows, if there's a demand for it. I just want to read two more short things. It's fun. Go through your closets if you have a chance and look at some of the stuff that you wrote when you were a kid. It's kind of revealing. This is called The Big Tree, all right? Once upon a time in Disneyland, a place I still have yet to go to, by the way. Once upon a time in Disneyland, there was a great big tree. The tree was bigger than houses. The big questions were, who planted it? And how did he get such a big seed? How did the person who planted it get such a big seed? Okay. Every day, the same questions were asked. The chicken said, because chickens, as you know, can talk, the chicken said, I laid a big egg, I planted it, and it grew into a big tree. It must have been magic. It's got to be chopped down, said the duck. It's covering the whole city. They got an axe, but the tree didn't move when they chopped it, so they decided to let it stay. Every day they watered it, but when they watered it, the tree got smaller and smaller until it turned into an ordinary tree. Now, what this tells me is that I was trying to convey that if you mess with nature and you try to control it, it's not going to cooperate. If you back down a bit and just be calm, everything will revert at some point, one point or another, and you can live your life in peace and freedom. Right? I just wish the world had listened to what I was trying to say back then.
Yeah, it's important.
Mm-hmm. So you can't chop down a giant tree. If you water it, it'll shrink down and become a normal tree.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all.
It makes perfect sense.
But it'll have lots of little trees. Maybe that's what you were saying.
You know, I think this was second grade. It might have been third grade. I actually got a letter published in the New York Post.
Yeah?
Yeah. I total disclosure here. It was at the behest of my mother who helped me write this. I guess, you know, it's a bee in your bonnet to get published in the New York Post at the age of six or whatever. I was actually writing in support of school, and that's how I know that it couldn't have been 100% me. What kid at that age writes, you know, something in support of school? It's called Student Outcry. You can look this up. It's in the New York Post. I don't like this new plan to have school last 11 months instead of 10. I'm 8 years old and in the top third grade at PS 95 in Queens. Mm. I wasn't in the top third. My mom made me add that top third. I don't know what that means. But I was 8 years old. I was in third grade at the time. I love school. Again, that doesn't sound like me. But not 11 months of it. Children learn a great deal from having nice long vacations. Being in the country and being close to nature and having fun with your friends are very important things.
Yeah, they are.
They are. I agree to that to this day. I agree with that to this day. But that whole thing about loving school, didn't really agree with that. So, yeah, from second grade to the New York Post, all in just a few moments. I regret showing you that tape machine. You've been playing with that the whole show.
What's wrong with playing with things?
Because it distracts you from other things. We're out of time now, Kyle. We're totally out of time.
We're never out of time.
No, we're out of time, and I forgot to put the outro into the CD player, so you got to fill time now.
All right. Well, I'm just learning this... this wonderful tape reel here, and I'm gonna hopefully have more things to play on it at some point.
No, that's not Kyle playing the tape backwards. That's actually our outro. Sometimes things just work out that way. Hey, you can write to us, otw@2600.com, if you have anything to say about Off the Wall or USB or the world or anything like that. Anything you want to say, Kyle, before we say goodnight?
Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you again soon.
Good night. Just waiting for
Kids, tonight's a very, very special night right here in WUSB on Finn's Revolution. We're going to be talking to our very, very good friend, Mr. Bob D'Amico, Centereach local boy, drummer for Sebado, talking about the new release, which we're going to give away some copies of tonight. And Charlie and Conchetta will be giving away some copies of their new CD, so stay tuned. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some stuff from The Prisoner right there. And we're going to be talking to Bobby D'Amico, Centereach boy, right here in a few moments at a bar. He and I are going to be having a couple of beers and celebrating the new the two new releases from Sebado. And this is something from the one that came before, just the one that's dropped today. This is from the Secret EP, came out a few weeks ago. This is called Keep the Boy Alive. And right after this, Mr. Bobby D'Amico, drummer for Sebado.
Thank you.
right, yeah, Keep the Boy Alive from Sebado from their secret EP, which came out about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And we're going to be giving away a copy of that in about 20 minutes. We were lucky enough the other night to be, I was lucky enough the other night, and so are you, and along with me, to be speaking with Bobby D'Amico of Sebado, drummer of Sebado, drummer of Fiery Furnaces, drummer of many outfits, and great, great, great guy, and local boy, Center Reach boy, used to even drum for me, and drum with me, I should say, not for me, and probably his most regrettable days, but, you know, there you have it. And we met in Bay Ridge the other night, and we had a little chat, and hey, I say, let's hear it. And in a little bit, we're going to get a chance to win the Secret EP and also the brand new record by Sebado featuring Lou Barlow and Jason Lowenstein and Bobby D'Amico, Defend Yourself, which just dropped today. So you'll get a copy of it today mailed out to you. So stay tuned for that. But meanwhile, here's Bobby and I clinking some glasses in a bar in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Little Sullivan's, that's right.
In Bay Ridge.
We're in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. It's a Bay Ridge mainstay. I think it's been open since 1934.
Yeah. Wow. Right here on the corner of 89th and 3rd.
That's right.
Okay. And of course, you know, I used to hang out here when I was a kid. My grandparents lived right up the road, so this is like the
96th and 3rd, that's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, there you go, right up on 96th Street. And we're here with our bartender, Eddie.
Say hi, Eddie.
Say hi, Eddie. Very good. And Bobby, of course, is just back from being on the road with Sebado. And, right?
That's right.
And,
West Coast, John.
Let's just go back a little bit. Last time you were on, we talked about the Fiery Furnaces mainly. But last time you were on, what bar were we in there?
We were at some place on the south side of Williamsburg. I can't remember the name.
I can't remember it either.
Yeah.
But as usual, we're meeting in a bar, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is probably where we've always met.
As it should be.
That's right. Right. That's exactly right. So let's just go back a little bit. Sebado, how did you get... Now, you've been at Sebado a long time.
Oh, not really. Two years.
Well, yeah. 2 years is a long time. Okay, so you've been with Sebado a long time. And in those 2 years, mainly it's been gigs, and they've been supporting stuff like re-releases, remasterings, right?
Right, exactly. I think it started when I started playing with Sebado was when they Sub Pop was reissuing Big Sale, the album Big Sale.
Right. And